Ephesians 2:10 says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you believe that this morning? All right, you may be seated. That's the shortest version of the New Testament that you're going to get. You might even get like that kind of sermon this morning. You ready? They hit that really well. I don't know who it was. That was really good. Before I continue on in the message, I hope you underline that this morning, that Ephesians 2:10 is written all over you this next week. I'm going to tell you, as I preach this, that the good works that he has in store for you, that he has prepared for you personally, might be ones that you are not excited to be a part of. Good morning. Glad you're here. All right. Good deal. This last weekend, Pastor Harrison needed help. He needed another person to drive a vehicle, and it was probably Thursday that he solidified that I had to be that driver for this weekend. We took 15 teenagers to Roxana Church of the Nazarene, and they competed and had fun and all sorts of talent, all right? And it was a good time. I will tell you, I am so praising God, I'm not a youth pastor anymore. Woo! I am tired, all right? And I just can't keep up with their heckling anymore. As I've gotten older, I thought I would lose some of my feelings and emotions and all. Like, I used to tell for the longest time that I had one feeling left, and it was anger. All right? I think, these last couple of years, I've regained some of the other feelings, so thanks, church. It's been a recouping time from youth ministry, you know? And just being back there, I'm like, oh, they're mean. They're just mean. They called me old. Horrible, like, human beings. It is a mission to be a youth pastor, all right? That's all I'm saying. And we're going to talk about this idea of being ready to go in head on. Go ahead and give, yeah, there we go. You're going to have to pay attention. I didn't bring it up. I don't care. Just let's bank on them this morning. You got it. All right. We'll see if we can do this. And last week, there's no slide for this. Last week, we talked about finding out who our shepherd is, right? And my first question for you this morning is, I talked about that video of the sheep that this shepherd kept pulling out of the hole. Like, he'd get it out, it was wedged in this hole, and you could tell it took every effort to get this sheep out, and he got it out, and it was one of those moments, like, if the shepherd wasn't there to save this sheep from this hole, there was no chance this sheep was getting out. There was no chance. And he pulls it out, and he thinks, oh, you can tell, the shepherd was like, whew, that was a lot of work. And all suddenly, all this sheep did was, like, right back into the same ditch. Stuck. Anybody feel like they lived that this week? That God has pulled you out of a scenario or said, hey, I have created you, I love you, you're redeemed, and you go, yes, yes, and then the next moment you like turn around and go right back into the pitfall this last week. Anybody feel that a little bit? All right, a couple, all right. I just want you to know you're loved. God is always going to be there to help pull you out of that, right? That's how much he loves you. As annoying as we can be, I'm saying me, all right? You're not annoying. Now, some of your teens, I'm sorry, I had a lack of sleep. Love you guys. All right? This morning we're going to talk about going head on. All right? And I started thinking about this sermon and after this weekend and being asked to drive this van, to be there this weekend, and this idea that I am going into this head on, knowing I'm going to get called old, knowing that I'm going to be said, like, I'm going to learn words. I'm like, what was that? Riz, that's for you. Being called Snickers, I'm like, what? Am I nuts? Like, right? Just like random things and being ready for it. And then, like, sleeping in a hotel that is a 2-star hotel because that's all they have in town. You're like, who? What am I sleeping with? Right? So it's one of those ones you, never mind. Anyway, just waking up, not sleeping, going. And Saturday, I will tell you, Saturday, yesterday, feels like an eternity. All right? Saturday just never ends with this, all right? And I'm going to tell you, like, God created me for that moment. And I have to determine how I'm going to go into that moment, right? And so I had a couple choices. I could be mean. Was I mean?
Yeah.
Good. Are you happy for Harrison? Oh, jeez. Wow. I'm glad he's not in here right now. Love you, Harrison. You're doing a good job. All right. Do you love Bailey?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right. I had to go into that moment of knowing that God has prepared this moment to do what? To do what God has prepared. And it's with an attitude in how you approach it, right? And I started thinking about this from Ephesians 2:10, right? We all know it seems like such an awesome verse. It really does. And it really is that God has created me. I'm not a mistake. As far as, like, no matter what you talk to the teens, I'm not a mistake. All right? God loves me. He has created me. He has created you. No matter what anybody else says to you, God has created you. And he wants you, and he wants to use you, and he needs you, and he's prepared things for you because of the gifts that he has installed in you. And we need to have the attitude that we're ready to face it head on. Right? Now, as I read that and I started reading what it means to be within this attitude, I started thinking about Stephen from Acts 6. We're in our whole, right there. We're going to stay right there. We are not going to read all this morning. But you, this is the challenge, church. Read this. 6:8 through 7:60. You don't have to highlight it all. Read it. Because it's fascinating. All right? Because you have a scenario here where the church is getting big. And they have tons of disciples now. And they have, like, what feels like one of these moments where, you know, the congregation, they got together and they're like, listen, we've got a complaint. Oh, boy. And it's one of those moments, you know, oh, man, I'm sick today. I don't want to hear this complaint. All right? So they meet with the board, which is the disciples at that time, and say, listen, we feel like we're being neglected. Our widows are not being taken care of. We need to be loved. And so what these disciples did go, listen, this is a need. We see a need, but we are too busy to do that. We need to keep preaching the gospel. We need to keep moving forward. So we're gonna appoint 7 other disciples to do that. All right? And I can't imagine in this moment, this is one of those moments that you're like thinking, if you're one of the disciples sitting out there ready to get picked, you're not going, ooh, me. You're probably going like that. He's not talking to me. He's not going to pick me. I'm not here. It's like being in the classroom when you haven't been paying attention to the lecture, and all of a sudden you're like, who would like to answer this? And you're going, oh, they have, not me. I'm not here, right? Anybody? No? Are you scared right now that I'm going to call you up and do this? right? I want you to know every Sunday I have a couple of you that I ask, hey, are you ready to give a sermon? You ready to preach? And someday Stefan's going to be up here preaching. I feel it. I ask him every time. He's like, I'm not ready, man. I don't know what I'm going to say. God's going to lay something on his heart that's going to rock us. I just feel it. So just be ready for that. But I think we need to be ready. We need to be ready to be head on, right? Got that, Stephen. I like it, though. That was good. I like it. That's good. You have this moment that these disciples, these main guys, are going to pick seven of them to deal with kind of a whiny, complainy, full of issues church. And the one that we are going to focus on is Stephen. All right? And I want to give you some highlights before we get going about who Stephen is. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. There's other times that he is called a man full of grace and his spirit rest upon him. Stephen was picked. I think he decided no matter what the other six were going to do, he was going to take this head on. And not just take it head on, he was going to rise above for the challenge. All right? And so this is how it started. He started with this heart of what Jesus did. And let me help you understand what's going on. This is the church after the crucifixion. This is the church after the resurrection. This is the church when it really started getting its legs. This is the church in the early periods of what we have today. This is the beginning. All right? And they still are holding on to old traditions. They still hold on to old ties. And you have these people that are wanting to believe and be a part of this, but also want to have the power that they once had. All right? And Stephen, full of all this, what Jesus has done in his life, every time he helps and takes care of them, guess what he is probably doing? Preaching, teaching about who Jesus Christ is. And that he is the sole one, the one and only that we can get to God. He is the way. Right? Now, in that, they became frustrated and angry. Because this church that he was ministering to, these people that he was growing closer to, the people that he was put in charge of, and he went full head on, and he knew what he was preaching. He knew this idea of that the moment he teaches the truth to them, it was going to cause problems. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you know if you step up and you say something that needs to be said, it's not going to be received well? Have you ever done one of those moments you're like, I need to say it, not today. It'll be easier to do tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, you're like, now, yesterday was so good, I was able to live with the garbage of what was going on in this moment that I can live with that again. And I can live with that again. And the issue just never gets resolved. Because it's easier to deal with the issue than actually face it head on. Well, Stephen, being a man full of the Holy Spirit, being the man that is full of grace, he just decided, I'm going to face it head on. And they did not like that. So what did they do? They decided to start making up lies about Stephen. That he was being basically a heretic. That he was blaspheming. That he was teaching the wrong teachings of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was teaching things that were false about them. And so they dragged him in front of the council of their church. And they started telling him, this is what you're doing wrong. And I want you to know, with those accusations, it's not like he's going to get fired. if they proved that he followed through on these accusations, they had the full right to stone him to death. So there's some serious allegations, and there's some serious complications that go along with this, right? Like, if I do something wrong, I'm not going to, for the most part, I'm not going to get pulled out of here, and you guys aren't going to pull up those rocks and start throwing at me. I hope and pray, right? More than likely, if I did something that disrupted this church and I spoke wrong and I was teaching wrong biblical things, I would be turned in, I would lose my license, and I would not be your pastor anymore. Right? And you find somebody to lead you. But that's not how they did things back then. They had a more permanent solution. All right? So these are serious allegations. And this is the part of the scripture I'm not going to read through, but this is what is amazing. He didn't have notes in front of him. In fact, he had no time to prep. He was pulled before this congregation of people that are accusing him and telling lies about him. And he goes, okay, here you go. This is who Abraham is. This is who Isaac is. This is who Jacob is. And this is who Moses is. And he tells their story. Why? Because he goes, I know what you're saying about me, and I'm going to tell you everything you believe I've been saying. I've been teaching. I know my history. And he did it with grace. Right? Now, he ended his session, and I love this. And this is the part that's really, really tough for us. He called them to the carpet. He looked at them in their face, and he said this, and you can find this in 751. You stiff-necked people. All right? It's not nice. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. Now hear this. And this is a man that knows his stuff. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it. That was one of those moments, and one of our teens, after he sang this song, he sang Nothing Else. I loved that song, and he did it a cappella. I was like, amazing. After he sang, this is what I love about our teens. They're so confident. Mic drop. Actually, that was Joel after he played piano, too. Like, after he played piano. Yeah, I called you out. You can play piano. He's not something that he's a hidden talent, right? He wanted to do a mic drop. This is one of those moments that Stephen looked at his accusers, looked at them and goes, I got your number. I'm not scared. I'm going to tell you what is. You people have been killing prophets. You people have been killing the ones that God has sent. In fact, not only that, you have murdered our Savior. Right? And not only that, this law that you worship, traditions, you don't even obey it. You have manipulated it to be something that is never what it was called to be. You've added to it that God doesn't even want what you have added to it. You have put things on people that are not what are called to do. Church, we got to be careful of that too. We have a desire, and I'll be honest, I'm there. We have a desire to want this gift that is only for God. We want to judge. We want to convict. We want, in the name of God, we have done things that are not godly. We have to be careful of that. And the only way we can be very careful of that is what? Seeking out the Holy Spirit, before we ever say anything. And I think this is the moment that the Holy Spirit was using Stephen in this moment to speak truth that needed to be said. Now, the reaction was not of one that you would go as a pastor going, all right, they got it, they heard it, they repented, they came to the altar and they asked for forgiveness, not to me, but to God. And they wanted to know that, how do we change? No, in fact, they did the opposite. They got angry. He says they gnashed their teeth. That'd be a weird Sunday morning if you guys were all like grinding your teeth at me, right? Like they were that angry. And I'm thinking there's a back door. There's like after that moment, I'm finding my way out. He stood there, continued on, and they were so mad with him that they took him out there into the courtyard and started to stone him. Now, I want you to understand. Let's get the understanding here. How we can manipulate what worship looks like. Because that's what was going on in this moment. They were a church and they come for God, and one was speaking the truth and they did not like the truth. And then they celebrated in not truth by killing somebody. This is tough. I know it's tough. And I know we had one less hour. But we have to be able to face these things head on. And this is the attitude that Stephen had at the end of it. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord. And this is going to hit us. I think this is the heart of it. I think this is where the Holy Spirit resides, because there is many times I think there's no way we can react the way he's going to react here. And if you have it, your Bible's open, if you're reading along, this is near the 59 area, okay? Let me find it again. While we were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold these sins against them. I want you to know right now, like, I feel convicted in many ways, because it is easy to know when somebody has done me wrong, it is hard to let that go. Stephen is outside after preaching what was given to him by the Spirit, and he followed, and he knew what was going to happen. And these people had a heart that was not of the Spirit, not of God, and he knew that the possibility could be death in this moment, and he still did it. And not only did he do it, he prayed to God not to smite them, not to knock them down, not to take them out either, but he prayed, please do not hold these sins against them. Wow. Let's go back really quick to Ephesians 2 and reread that 2:10. For God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, this is a precious moment in this time that Stephen, not only he died in this moment and he was with God, right? Like, there was, the Holy Spirit was upon him, and like he looked different. He acted different. He was different because God was within him and he was acting out what God wanted of him. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is preparing good works for you. God is preparing you to do things. And sometimes those things are not easy. And I will tell you, with the Spirit, you can face them head on. And I'm going to tell you right now, what the Spirit provides you is this. He provides you courage and strength. I think as a man, you have this tendency to think in ways of like, I need, Like when my family goes out, I don't know what it is, and you might disagree with me. I am bound to look at the world in a way that I want to protect my family. So when people approach us, I think in terms sometimes like, okay, are they going to be safe? Right? And I think my wife is the same way in some ways, like, the wonderful world of cell phones now, we have an app on our kids' phones, and we have a kid that drives, we have one that's getting their license here soon. Facing that head on, all right? But we have an app on their phone called Life 360, and we're able, like, you could say we hover, but it helps us understand where they're at. Are they safe? Are they speeding? Right? We are natural ones of protecting. God has designed us in His image. He wants to protect you. He wants to install this courage and this strength that is only provided by the Spirit. And in that moment, Stephen wouldn't have been able to do any of this without the Spirit. This weekend, I had moments with teens, I had moments with adults, and I want to tell you right now, it was the Spirit that was driven this weekend. Teens went down to the altar. They're ready to live for Jesus. They got challenged to put down the silly things in this world. The things that take up our time. Man, he talked about cell phones and how many hours do we spend with the cell phones. I see the cell phone, yeah. I'm calling you, Peg. Right? And he just challenged them, listen, do you want your life to be meaningful? Because God has prepared something for it. But you have to say yes and be ready to go head on for it. And it ain't easy. I mean, you look at any of the Old Testament, right? And those who follow God, whoo, it ain't easy. Read their stories. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are in the same boat with them. God has created you. You believe that? Do you think that He has a story for you? Do you think that He has a plan for you? And I'm going to ask you right now, do you think it's to be comfortable? Have you been putting it off? Because you just don't know what the words to say. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to confront it because you know once you do, it's not going to be easy. It might ruin a relationship. It might be weird at work from now on. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to be in the wrong setting with God, who's challenging you and personally made you for this moment to face it head on. And I'm going to tell you right now, the first step is this: pray. What did Stephen do when he was getting stoned? He prayed. He prayed. And I think that was the moment even the Spirit within him is going, listen, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who else said that? Jesus did, right? Where? Do you remember? On the cross. Do you know Jesus still says that to us today? Even in the moments that we go and jump right back in that pit hole and he has to pull us back out and he's saying, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. That's how much He loves you. And the Spirit comes down and lets upon you and says, listen, this is how you are to love others. And you go out and pull them out, even if they don't want it, even if they don't agree with it, even if you tell them the truth that Jesus is the only way. You tell them the truth that they need Jesus in their life to feel whole and real. He has created you personally for this. Stand with me, church. Before we go, my question I want to leave you with, are you ready to be God's handiwork? Are you ready to do what God has prepared for you? If not, why? What stands in the way? Are you ready to lay it down? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit move in you this week? Are you ready to be like, okay, God, here I am. I use me. Even in those moments I fail, God is bigger. You are no mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He sent his son to redeem all the mistakes of this world. And all we have to do is what? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you. And follow him. Are you ready to go head on in this? Do you know that God has created something for you personally this week? That God wants to use you this week? Do you know that? Listen, we have Easter coming up, and Easter is our big event as a church that we recognize that this is a moment that is leading up to that we understand we have a Savior, that he defeated death. And with that, we can be raised out of our death. We can be raised out of our sins, that we are no longer bound by it anymore. It is the hope that we know. We bank on that. There is people in your lives that don't know this personally, and God has put you in their lives for a reason. I am not a big one that they have to be in church to see God, but I'm going to tell you right now, every Easter is an opportunity to hear the salvation message of what Jesus did for them and how he loves them right where they're at and moves them forward. And his cost is for them. He says, here I am, I will, for them. And what he's doing right in that moment is telling you right now, here you are. I have put these good works before you. They need to hear this message. Pray. Love on them recklessly. Invite them to Sunday. Pray that God gives them you the words, the opportunity to invite. But more important, if you have the opportunity, if God lays out before you an opportunity to share what God has done in your life, don't miss out. Take the Holy Spirit with you and have courage and strength to share what God has done. Whether it ruins a relationship, whether they run from you, God will use it. And he's wanting you part of the plan to change other people's lives. Do you believe that, church? Man, I hope so. This week, the next 2 weeks, this is my desire for us. This is what God desires for us. You believe it. If you said it, if you shaking your head, yes. If you silently go, yeah, he's made something for me. I want you to know you are called to do it and not do it haphazardly. You are to do it with the Holy Spirit. That you should go home today and be praying, seeking out the guidance of the Holy Spirit to provide you the words, to provide you the actions, to provide you the person that you have, the story that God has put on your heart to share. God has created us for a reason. Are you ready to face it? Church, I want to dismiss you reading this one more time, and hopefully Ephesians 2:10 means so much more now. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, for God has prepared in advance for us to do. Let's go do it. Let's pray. Let's be ready. Let's be excited and know that we have the courage and strength from the Holy Spirit to do what he has called us to do. It ain't easy. Let's stop being comfortable. Let's stop complaining about the little things. Let's go out and do what God has called us to do. Let's see God work because he's waiting for us. I honestly believe it. Church, let's face this head on. You're dismissed.